Why do we give? We give to make a difference, to touch hearts and change lives. We give to feed the hungry, care for the sick, and comfort those in need. We give to show Jesus to our neighbors, our community, and the world. We give as an act of worship to a God who has given everything. We give because we are the church, the body of Christ, called to be a light in the darkness, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are the hands and feet of Jesus, sharing the hope of the gospel. This is why we give.
Welcome to this space that we call worship. Amen.
Amen.
I want everyone to be inspired today. If you need to take notes, take notes. If you need to record it, record it. But you need to go back over these lessons that we have, because these are your teachings. These are the things that will help you fight during the week that we go through. And just know that God is with you. Now, next I want to let you all know that you are welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen.
Amen.
We're glad that you all had the spirit and the wherewithal to get up and come to church today. Stay with him no matter where you go. The Bible says, follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Amen. Now let's open the floor up to anybody that has a praise report. Now, a praise report is something that happened in your life that God was good to you, and you want the rest of us to hear it and shout right along with you. Are there any praise reports? Well, amen. We're going to move forward with our lesson. We've got a guest speaker today. And I want you to know his name is Reverend Steve Watson. And we're going to just enjoy the message that he's bringing to us today. Amen.
So,
if there are no other announcements and anything else that we need to talk about, we're going to move right away into our service. So I'm going to move over and let Reverend Steve come forth, give us a prayer, and start his lesson off. Amen.
Amen. Everyone, please bow their heads. I want to first just thank you, Yah, for just waking us up this morning. Thank you for your health. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for our just being here today. We just want to say thank you. We thank you for shelter, food to eat, clothes to wear. We thank you for jobs, dear God. We thank you. We have so much to be thankful for, so much. We just want to ask you, go along with our children out here. Make sure they're being fed the right information. Make sure that they're learning about your name, your greatness, your power, your majesty, just everything that needs to be known. We just want to just wake the world up to let them know in the days that we're living in. We just want to say thank you for everything. Thank you for my cousin waking up this morning. Thank you for giving the insight to invite me on to speak to you all today. And I just want to say thank you. In your son, Yeshua's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Beautiful prayer, brother. So it's all on you today. So
okay. Well, today, what we're going to be talking about, what God has given us to talk about, is coming from the 14th chapter of Revelations. And with dealing in the 14th chapter of Revelations, we're going to learn about the return of Yeshua. I want to first just explain the different one, how when I refer to Yah, I'm talking about God. His real name is Yah. And when I refer to Yeshua, I'm speaking of Jesus. That's his real name. It's almost like someone calling me Rob, but my name is Steve. And but I know they're talking to me, but at the same time, they're not calling me by my real name. So I just think we should address God by his real name is Yahuwah, and Jesus by his real name is Yahshua. Well, today what we're going to be speaking about is the rapture. Some people won't call it the rapture. My very first sermon I preached, I talked about, I wanted to do a sermon on the rapture. That's where my heart was, but that's not where God had me, was to do a sermon on the rapture. And it wasn't time then to do that. And how Yah works, how God works, is how he brought my cousin to me and asked me if I would give a word. And this is the chapters that God has given me. And this is what we're going to speak about. And I think what we need to do is get ready for what we're witnessing right now. What the title of my message today is coming from is called Preparing the Table for Judgment.
Amen.
Preparing the Table for Judgment. And that's coming from the 14th chapter of Revelations, Preparing the Table for Judgment. And we're coming out of the 14th chapter of Revelations. I want to go over some highlights with you right quick, what we're going to be speaking about. First, I'm going to talk to you about Yah is preparing the world right now for his judgment. Everything is being put in position right now. And it's been put in our face really, really strong since 2019, 2020. But he's putting everything in position for his judgment. He's separating the people. And we can see it in our government, how he's separating the people. Some highlights I'm going to be going over. Jesus and his followers, sealed and redeemed. The three angels that we're talking about here is going to be coming from the verses 6 through 12 of the 14th chapter of Revelation. It's also talking about the first angel, the second angel, and the third angel. And we'll also be speaking on the harvest and vintage, which is coming through the verses of 14 and 20, and the harvest for righteousness. And these are just some of the things that we have to get ready for, because these are the things that God is bringing right in the midst of our face right now as we speak. Want to first just start off, we're going to read the chapter, and then we're going to break it down. I like to read the chapter, not add anything to it, not take anything away, just giving it to you just the way Yah, which is God, saw fit for us to receive it. Chapter 14, the first verse. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood at the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I hear a voice of harpers harpening with their harps. And they sang as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song. Pay attention to that. And sung before the beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from earth. These are they which were not defiled by women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. That's very important right there. That really breaks down who these 144,000 are. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue of people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him and made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his judgment, and shall be tormented with the fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. There's going to be some harsh times for those people. There is a patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, which is Yeshua. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed is the dead which die in Yah from henceforth, yea, the spirit, that they must rest from their labors and their works do follow them. I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. And the other angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to them that sat in the cloud, trust thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee. Reap the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat in the cloud trust his sickle, and on earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Pay attention to the word sickle, how each angel has a sickle. And another angel came out of the altar and had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had a sharp sickle, saying, trust thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust his sickle on the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast them into a great winepress of wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. What we're going to talk about today is preparing the table for God's judgment, Yah's judgment. Who are the 144,000? People have always wondered. I always wondered this. I wondered this up until maybe 3 years, I'll say maybe less than that, maybe a couple of years ago, it finally came to me in reading and understanding who the 144,000 were, because as growing up, you hear about the rapture and you always say, out of all the people in the world, there's only 144,000 that's going to make it on the first go around. In my mind, I'm like, wow. But as you learn and as you read and as God gives you discernment to understand his word, that 144,000 starts to make sense. Because see, now you're separating the people, and that's already starting in our eyes right now of how this nation itself is separating the people. You see, we may look at it as this man that's trying to separate the people, but everything is controlled by Yah, God. And God is separating the people right in our face that we want to call what's going on. He's separating the people. So what makes these chosen so special? The 144,000 first are God's people. You see, what we have to understand, what Revelations first talked about in the very beginning, it started the separation in chapter 2, when he started letting you know who are his people and who are not his people. And those that are not his people, he calls Gentiles. Those that are mocking his name and claiming to be his people are who is called in the word the synagogue of Satan. And we all know who the synagogue of Satan is. If you don't know, go to chapter 2, chapter 3, and read Revelation. It's going to tell you who the synagogue of Satan is. And those are the people that are right now living in the city of so-called Israel. So those are the people that God is speaking on that are not his real people. The 144,000 are going to be of his people, of his lineage, of him. And those are the people of Israel. Those are the Hebrew people. And what makes these chosen people special? Why? Because from with Moses, when God worked and talked with Moses and led the people out of Egypt, and when God talked to Moses and led them through different wars and through different cities, how they took over the cities, those are God's people. And what makes them special is because God chose them. He chose them. When it was the time between Esau and Jacob, God made his decision who he chose. How only the 144,000 were able to learn this song. You see, he speaks of a song. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000. He's going to put the life back into their minds, our minds. He's going to put this song that they are going to learn that no one else, it's not that no one else can sing it, because if you give us a song, I'm quite sure you, but this is a different kind of song. You only be able to sing this song if you're chosen. You only be able to sing this song if God, Yah, gives it to you. He has to give you this song in your heart before you can sing it. And there's only one group of people that have that song in their heart. These men were not defiled by women. We're asking, who are the 144,000? And God's, and Yah says right here, virgins. He uses these as giving you illustrations, like when we look at the virgins as far as the woman, how she's clean, untouched, mind is pure. There are people out here that are like that to this day. You may think that there are men out here that chose not to be married or chose not to be of this world and chose to live their life upstanding the way Yah told us to live according to the Bible, the word that he gives us, the blueprint that he gives us to live by, and they've done that. So therefore, they're going to be called in that number. These are going to be the heads of the army when we go. These are the heads of the army. The 144,000 are going to be your chiefs, your generals. God is the head. Yah is the head, but he still has sergeants. He still has ranks. He still has a ranking. And these are going to be the leaders who's going to lead the rest of us when we come through on the second go around if we don't make it in on the first. So these are the ones that will be leading and be over your, as they will say in the army, your platoon. So these are the 144,000. These are men that were chosen by God, by Yah. And they were also given a song which does something to their spirit, brings them into oneness, wakes them all the way up, and puts them into uniform, almost like when the military is marching down the street and they have their songs that they sing, right, left, right. God has something he's given to the 144,000 that keeps them in order, keeps them in line, and that wakes them up. Then we go to the second part, the third angel. The third angel, if any man worship the beast and his image or receive the mark of the beast, shall also drink of the wine. I'd like to go to verse 8 of the 14th chapter. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine and the wrath of her fornication. So when we hear this, who do we think Yah is talking about? What city reminds you of the new Babylon? What city reminds you where so many nations and kings and have come into her and dealt with her for selling and goods and buying and selling and trades and oils and jewels and incense? What nation on this earth does that resemble? Many cities drunk of her wine. A lot of cities, a lot of states, a lot of nations have gotten rich off this new Babylon. A lot of cities and nations have put all their trust into the new Babylon and not into the one that we all should be trusting, which is Yah, which is God, who gives us everything that we need, everything. So them themselves fornicated with the new Babylon, and they're going to pay the price. Do not worship the fake Yahshua. There's going to be a fake Messiah, a false Messiah that's going to come out and claim to be the real Messiah and be able to work so-called miracles. If you're not awoke and you're not reading your word and asking Yah for discernment, you'll get lost. You'll be tricked, and you don't want to be tricked. You want to keep your eyes open. Be a watchman. Be a watchman for God. Read your word. Study your word so you won't be tricked when all this is coming about. When, as you're starting to see things unfold, you'll understand what's going on, and you won't be scared, and you'll understand what Yah is doing. So don't be tricked by the false Messiah that comes out and claims to be Jesus and be able to work miracles, but he's not. Do not be afraid of the struggle. It's going to be hard. For those that don't make it in 144,000, it's going to be hard. It's going to take us back to times that some of us can relate to most recently, which was COVID. See, the COVID era was really a time that this is only my interpretation. I looked at COVID as a trial run for the mark of the beast. And why I say that, it was not only a trial run, but it was also a wake-up call to get people together, because God, just like he was mad at Moses and the people of Israel when they weren't obeying, and he was frustrated and ready to just take them out right now, want to just kill them, kill all the Israel. God is in that state right now. But because of Yahshua, Jesus, his love that he has for us, Yahshua pleaded for us on behalf of us. He pleaded, Yah, give them one more chance. They're not ready. Just give them one more chance. They're not ready. So that's what the pandemic was, a trial run. One, to get those that are not saved, saved, and to get them ready. And for two, those that are already awake and know what's going on, you can see what's being done, because they told you you couldn't get nothing to eat or go in the grocery store or really go too much anywhere without your COVID shot, which means you had to have your card to show your COVID shot. Well, what you think it's going to be like when they do the mark of the beast? You see, Satan is clever. Satan is not dumb. Satan is smart, and he has power, and you have to respect that. None of us are strong enough to conquer Satan, outsmart Satan, or beat Satan by ourselves. We can't do it. It's not going to happen. So you have to understand the struggle is going to be real. If you still left here and you don't take that mark of the beast, What are you going to eat? What are you going to buy? How are you going to move around in out here to do anything? You got kids. You got grandchildren. It done got so bad to where they can't stay where they are. Everybody's coming together now. Now you got more families in one setting. Now it's going to take more food to feed because you got more people. How you going to feed them? Well, you going to give in, or you going to let one of the other family members say, I'm going to take it for the family and I'm going to go get the market of beasts to feed them. You can't do that. You can't do that. You have to trust God. You got to understand. We have to understand. What makes us think we're going to make it any easier than Yahshua, Jesus, or his 12 disciples? What? Yes, Jesus came and died for our sins that we will have eternal life. Yahshua died for us. But what makes us think we're supposed to get into heaven easier than him, the Son, direct Son of God, Yah? What makes us we going to get in heaven any easier than the 12 disciples? Study and understand how all 12 of them died. Out of 12, one or two may have died naturally. All the rest of them were beheaded, hung, killed, murdered. So what makes us think we're going to get it any easier? What happens to every black leader we get that tries to help us in doing it? What happens to them? What makes you think we're going to get it any easier? We're not. It's going to be hard. It's got to try you. You've got to be tried to see if you for real. All of us will say we can get, we ain't going to take the mark of the beast. We're not going to do this. It's easier said than done. When you're looking at your five-month-old baby or your three-year-old daughter or your one-month-old son or your wife that just gave birth a day ago and you ain't got, and they hungry and you got to feed them. What you, I mean, you're just going to sit there and watch them starve? You're going to pray. You're going to have faith. And Yah's going to make a way. And if you do so happen to lose your life through that struggle, remember what Yah said. Your works and your deeds will not be forgotten.
Amen.
The punishment is death. If you take that mark of that beast, your punishment is death. Not eternal, everlasting life in heaven, but death. Death in the fire, the lake of fire, hell. That's your punishment. Which one do you choose? Which one do you choose? Blessed are the dead that die in Yah for his faith, for henceforth. If you die fighting for our Yahshua, Yah, if you die fighting and believing and standing on his word, you did not die in vain. You will be rewarded, and your works will not be forgotten. Your works will not be forgotten. So in all aspects, we look and we say, well, all these other religions, man, they're quick to give their life for who they believe for. Well, if we really believed in who we believe for, which is Yah, God, which is Yahshua, his son, Jesus, we really believe, like we say, we should be able to do the same thing. It shouldn't be a second thought. It shouldn't be a pause in your thinking or a pause in your whatever you got to do. When if it's for God, you should jump up immediately and want to be ready to do it for him. Because after all, he's looking for real soldiers for him. This isn't the time to be weak. This isn't a time to be slipping and sliding on what you believe in. Either you're going to believe it or not, because if you don't, it's going to show if you do or not. And if you do, you already know what to expect. See, he's looking for real soldiers. Right now, during these times and the times to come, you're going to have to be real. Because if you're not real, it's going to show in your cowardness and your weakness and your lukewarmness is going to show, because you ain't going to know where to stand. You're going to be so caught up and caught up into your feelings and not understanding the word and ain't received and have not received no discernment, where you're going to fall for the biggest trick and go take the mark of the beast, and then it's over. It's over. Now we're going to get to my third part. Now the punishment of America and Rome and all that drink of her wine shall be punished. Why do you ask me, why did I put America in there? Why did I put Rome in there? I'm gonna give you a little insight on why I included America and Rome. I include America first because so many of Yah's bloodline resides here that have been mistreated, that have been wronged. But it's not no one's fault but our own why we're put in this situation. But we're here in America, and America is a superpower. And then you ask, why did I include Rome? I include Rome because of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, the doctrine that all of this has come from, the doctrine which has got is what they use to distort and to confuse Yah's word. And you see, we have to say Yah instead of, we've been saying God, but we have to say Yah because the word through the doctrine has confused us. The word through the doctrine has gotten us away from the way Yah has his people to live. We're not supposed to live like the rest of the world. We're not supposed to move how the rest of the world, how the rest of the world moves. And I use Rome because at the end of the day, who was that that pierced our Savior in the side? Who was that that pierced him in the side? It was a Roman soldier that pierced him in the side. Who stole majority of our artifacts from our people, from our people? And where are they? They're in the Vatican. They have all of our, they have all the artifacts. And that is to keep us from knowing who we are. You see, everything was a design plan to confuse us as a people first, God's chosen. The whole plan was to annihilate us so that this could move on as far as the rapture and people would know who they really are and they'd be quick to fall for anything that saves them or makes them feel good or can feed them. But if they don't know who they are, they won't know that this is really all about them. But it's been twisted. So I put Rome in there for that reason because they had a lot to do with the confusion of God's, of Yah's word. They also had a lot to do with a lot of what happened to our Lord and Savior, Yahshua, at the time of his crucifixion. So we're going to go on going down to the third. We're going to say, I'm going to go ahead and go in. Yah, God, has given us plenty of chances to get it right. If you all cannot
you all cannot see
What's going on right now in Revelation, the 13th chapter, where we are in the world today, we're right there, people. God's prophecies are being revealed at a faster rate than I've ever seen before. Prophecies being revealed. It's coming back to back to back. It's coming. It's coming to be revealed. And it's right in our face. So a lot of us don't want to accept it or don't want to see it, or we think everything is, we got everything okay, so we're not worried about it. All nations and people that have played a part in God's chosen people's destruction, the judgment and the sickles is coming on us. When he started putting his different sickles down to get on people, it's coming on you. And it's nothing I can do. There's nothing no one can do because it's too late and we're already there. All I can tell you right now, get your home in order. Get your life in order. No one is perfect, but know the truth. Know who you are and know who Yah is. Know who Yahshua is. Get your lives in order. All the stubborn, stiff-necked people that refuse to believe. We have a lot of people still that are caught up in the doctrine that don't want to believe. That are still going by what the doctrine says, and it's a rapture, and it's a rapture that's coming for everybody, and it's going to be all. God, Yahshua is very clear on who he's coming back to get. Yah is very clear, and the son Yahshua is very clear throughout the whole Bible who he's coming back for. Yah is very clear on everything he's given us on what this is all about. Don't be stubborn. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't refuse to believe because someone else told you. It wasn't our ancestors' time to be woke at that time. God didn't say it was time to be woke at that time. It wasn't time for them to see it the way we seen it because we were still going through the punishment that Yah had put on them. You see, we had a punishment while we were going through and been going, that time is up now. That time is up now. And all nations, the whole world has been warned and know exactly what's going on. There's no reason that no one can say, well, I didn't know that those people were God's people and that's why they have favor. There's no reason to say, well, I didn't know I was God's chosen because I didn't read it that way. It's no excuse. He's given all of us opportunities to be told. But did we study to show ourselves approved? When we were told, did we just take it in one ear and be like, I didn't know what they mean, and going out the next year and do no kind of research or nothing on it? Or did you take it, receive it, study it to show yourself approved? That's the difference. That's the difference. So don't be stiff-necked. Read. If you still don't see it yet, ask Yah for discernment. Pray fast. Ask Yah for discernment. And as we close, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for this time? I see so many people talk, oh, he's coming to get us. I can't wait because he's about to judge all the people that did this wrong. Yeah, he's going to judge the people that did this wrong. And when they're judged and going through what they're going through, we should not be standing over them, mocking them, making fun of them, or anything. What we should do is, within our spirits, say, thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. And keep it moving. Don't do them as they did us. That's why they're going to be punished now. Don't do them like they did us. When the table turns and you see them going, don't do them like that. Then you ask, are you awake yet? Are y'all awake yet? What is it going to take? What is it going to take? I hope it don't take for you to have to go through it and get left here on earth and through into that lake of fire. I hope you can wake up and see who his people are and understand what's going on and where you fit in this time period. Everybody has a place where they fit. And just like when Jesus saved the man on the cross next to him that was not of his lineage, bloodline, he'll still do the same. People will still be grafted in. You will still do the same. But don't get caught up in the judgment. The judgment is for those that don't believe and that have did his chosen wrong. Don't get caught up in the judgment. Then, for the last, I want to leave you with what the return for Yah's 144,000 is all about. Like I told you earlier, the return of the 144,000, those are his chosen leaders. when Armageddon comes and we get ready to fight the great war, they will be in front with Yah, with Jesus, and won't have to touch nothing, because it just puts chills over my body when you know in the last day, the battle of Armageddon, when Jesus destroys Satan, that won't one punch have to be thrown, won't one bullet or arrow from our camp, which is Yahshua's camp, Yah's camp, we won't have to throw nothing and shoot nothing. It's all going to be done by scripture with a sword in his mouth. That should put chills over your body to know how powerful Yah is, how powerful Jesus is. When he ain't got to touch or lay a hand on nobody and look as if he's outnumbered. But when he starts quoting the scriptures with the sword in his mouth, that's powerful. What the return of the 144,000 for the 144,000 is all about. Is all about. We have to be ready, y'all. We in the last days right now, and they've been saying that for years, yes. But now, if you correlate what's going on now into what the scripture says, we're right there. But know this. This is something else that he just put in my heart to tell you. But this is something I had studied and just found this out within the last year. Know this. Our last time as a people, when we were free from Egypt, they weren't called Iranians then, but they are the same people that had played a very important part in God's chosen people being free when we came out of Egypt the first time. Pay attention to correlation to the Iranians then and the Iranians now on the second freeing us from the new Egypt. Pay attention. I'm gonna leave that with you, and I hope you can study on that. Pay attention to Iran's positioning on our first Exodus and Iran's positioning on our second Exodus. That's coming soon. And I just want to leave that with you, and I just want you all to know that we're getting prepared for Yah's return, and everything is going to be all right. And I'd like to just thank you and for listening, and hope we all learned something. In Yahshua's name, I pray and I thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, why don't you pray us out?
Okay.
Amen. Great message.
Dear Yah, I want to first just thank you for giving us a word. I'd like to thank you for giving us the right things to say and hear. Thank you for just the people that heard, those that wanted to and they couldn't. But I just thank you for just giving me something to say through you, from you, that may be something that can help someone be saved. I just want to say thank you. Please forgive everyone. Forgive us for all of our sins. Forgive us for the sins we know we've done and for the sins we know we haven't done. Bless us throughout this week, Yah, that we'll have a blessed week. Bring no harm or death to us or our families, dear Yah. We just ask you just to bless our kids, bless the children, our grandchildren, our wives, our husbands, our family, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, our friends. Bless us everyone in this right now. Bless them. Give them what they need right now, Yah, that they can be productive, that they may be able to go out and tell a dying world what you have given them to say and what you want them to hear. Give us the tools, equip us to be what we need to be out here, that we may be able to help someone that doesn't understand, that wants to be saved and wants to make it. We just ask you just to guide us, guide our steps, guide our tongues, guide our minds, guide our hands, guide our walk, guide us throughout this whole week until we meet again. In your son Yahshua's name we pray and we thank you. Amen. This joy that I have, oh, they give it, the world can't take it away, take it away, take it away. This joy that I have, oh, they give it,
All right.